Let us pray in unison. God of justice and mercy, we offer you our love and loyalty in worship. Yet we admit we do not always live out that love and loyalty. We don't always act on our good intentions. We fail to keep our promises. We hurt each other and then refuse to seek or offer forgiveness. People who look at us wonder if this is what it means to follow Christ. Forgive us, we pray, and help us to do better. Mold us anew by your Spirit, that we may walk faithfully in Christ's way. Amen. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Thanks be to God that we can make a new start. I'll ask Jeanette to come forward.
Please join me in the prayer of illumination. God of truth and wisdom, send us your Holy Spirit as we listen to your word. Refresh our understanding and equip us to respond to you in love. Amen. Our scripture readings this morning are printed in the bulletin. I will be reading Jeremiah and Luke, and the other two are for your own reading at home, the Psalm and Philemon. First reading is taken from Jeremiah, chapter 18, verses 1 to 11. The potter and the clay. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done? Says the Lord. Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it. But if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will change my mind about the disaster that I had intended to bring on it. And at another moment, I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it. But if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will change my mind about the good that I had intended to do to it. Now therefore, say to the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, look, I am a potter shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you. Turn now, all of you, from your evil way and amend your ways and your doings. And our gospel reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verses 25 to 33. The cost of discipleship. Now large crowds were traveling with him, and he turned and said to them, whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, "This fellow began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king going out to wage war against another king will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. May God bless to our understanding this reading from Holy Scripture. Thanks be to God.
Father, we want to give you thanks, we want to praise you. Much more for this time that you're giving us your word. We pray, O God, that may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable before you, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to believe that at one point in time you should have gone into the field, collected some soil, and poured a bit of some water to the soil and started making something out of the mud. I think it's so much in African countries. And here I've seen from my grade one child, he has a special mold that he is using to make, you know, whatever he wants to make out of it. And so I used to do something like that at one point in time. But I stopped, not because my hands were getting dirty or anything of that nature, but because I didn't make up a good thing out of the mud. If I try to make a dog, the shape doesn't come out of a dog. If I try to make a cat, doesn't. Later on, I just throw out all those things and say, I think this is not my business. Let me try some other things. I don't know about you if you ever had that opportunity to do something like that. I don't know if the shape of something that you wanted could really come out of the mud. And I don't know how you stopped. Maybe you abandoned, you know, that business. Or maybe you thought it was time to move to some other things. It is almost the same picture that we get from this prophecy of Jeremiah. Jeremiah had a vision, and in his vision he heard God calling him to get to some place, to a potter's house. A potter's house is a place where some very professional people play with something like mud, shaping up, you know, things like cups and many ornaments that you can think about. And so it's in such a place that Jeremiah was laid to by God. And when he went to that place in vision, he saw a professional potter on a wheel trying to
shape up a vessel. It could have been a jar. It could have been a dish. I don't know exactly what it was. But the Bible says he was shaping something like a vessel. Jeremiah, as he watched the potter making up something out of mud, and that thing was coming into shape, suddenly it started to lose that shape. It cracked. It cracked. And then the potter had mud again in his hands. Jeremiah waited to see what would happen to the potter. The potter did not end there. He started it again. He started shaping it again. He pressed the mud together, put it on the wheel again, and tried to shape something new out of it. And he saw that the potter succeeded in doing so. This is the word, you know, that went, using terminologies of nowadays, it went viral. It went to all places in the ancient Israel as the message of God, you know, to what God will do to the people of Israel. Especially that they were living in a way that God did not want. That is the message. When we get this message, it feels so much, you know, a warning. But on the other side, this message is a message of hope. And I want to dwell on this side of hope. That when things can get berserk, can get bad, we are still in the hands of the potter. We can crack. We can collapse. Our relationships can go bad. But we are still in the hands of God, our potter. And whatever the case, God is able to start everything again, to mold us in a shape that God wants us to be. This is the way of hope that I see in the passage that we have read. The prophecy was for the ancient Israelites, yes. But this prophecy extends even to people like us today, like people in our community, like people in the whole world. This message, this prophecy is for them. No matter how we've become, who we've become, no matter what we are doing, that shows cracks in us. That shows, you know, deformation. This God is still holding it, and this God wants to shape us anew. God wants to mold us anew. We are living in a world that has full of issues, a lot of problems, a lot of depressing things. I also see, you know, relationships, you know, not going on well between families, between marriages, and so on. But God still holds us. God is still for us. We are not alone in all those issues. God is with us. And the intentions of God is to form us anew. But this does not just come. It comes at a cost. It comes at a cost. And so when we read Luke chapter 14, you will see what Jesus said. At one point in time, Jesus was with a crowd. And suddenly he just started, you know, talking to them in a very harsh way that we can say so. He says, for those who want to follow me, for those who want to do the will of God, for those who want to be shaped anew, may they know that they have to hate their relatives, their mothers, their fathers. I feel this message is awkward to us today. If you can just ask the one you are sitting near, is that message real for us? Jesus just missed the point. Not really. Not really. Jesus was serious with this information. But not in the way that we may sometimes think. Especially when we interpret it literally. He says we should chase our parents, we should chase our relations, we should hate. That's what Jesus said. So we're going forward to do so. That's not what is the point there. Jesus is trying to say to the people that wanted to follow, the people that realized that there is need, it is good to follow Christ, to do the will of God, to be reshaped when we have collapsed. These people have to put God first. They have to put God first above any other things that, you know, may be dear to them. It was not really to chase the people, to chase the relationships, no. Or to hate the people that are around you, no. But it was that following Christ will cost us in this way. We have to commit ourselves wholeheartedly to Christ than we could do to these other things that we have, you know, been having. And so you will find that if there is somebody whom I don't want to relate to very well, because this person has been not good to me, he has done a lot of bad things to me, and so I'm angry with this person, it will cost us, because that anger, we have to put it aside and accept Christ's love, accept Christ's reconciliation with this person. If we can do something like that, then we have accepted to be in the hands of the potter, so that the potter can shape us in a new way than the way that we've been of hate, maybe of unforgiving. If there is something that I didn't like in this world that disturbs the relationship that I have with God, the moment I decide to live that kind of a lifestyle in order for me to follow Christ, that is the cost. That is what Jesus was trying to say. And if we can do so, then in the hands of the potter can create something new in us. from something that was not godly, something that was wrong, to something that is right, to something that is godly. That is what it is to reshape us anew, to reshape us into a new thing. I would like you to think about situations that you've been through. Think about those situations. You will realize that some of these situations have made us totally off from God. We are like a collapsed vessel. But what is very important is, remember, God has not let you in. You are not alone. You are still in the hands of the potter. And the potter will not abandon you. The potter will instead reshape you. And so we have to be willing to be reshaped. We have to endure certain costs for us to be reshaped. I met somebody who has been to church for some time, a long time, and this person does not feel like coming because church does not look all that good to me. I had this word as a well of hope to this person. Actually, God is still with you. And for you to start to think about church today, it's because you have received the word of God. God is speaking to your spirit. But this time, it's time to get back to God. And this God has been with you all this time. And this time he wants to recreate something new. And so don't be scared. Don't fear. You are still in the hands of God, and God wants to create something new in you. You are still useful. You are resourceful. You are a child of God. And so we have people who are living in fear. I feel this is their message, just as it is our message, that we are in the hand of God. And God wants to reshape us. God wants us to come out of that fear. God wants us to be courageous people. God wants us to move us from all those, you know, messy kind of things, to be a very, very good person. Just the way Psalm says that we are wonderful. Mother loves that verse. Wonderful and fearfully made. That's what we are. That's what God wants to shape us into. When we accept for this to happen in us. I like it when we meet in this church and then Jeanette moves around with a pig and then each one of us says something showing that we realize that God is with us. In our uncertainties, God is with us. And God has shaped us anew that we can praise God even by saying those words and putting something in the gratitude page. We are going to have it today. And I'm very attentive to listen to what you say. And all what you say are related to this. Yes, there is a crack somewhere. And God has reshaped